It's Edward Goldman with our talk on KCRW. Even if you've been only half awake throughout this past year, you could not hide from the grim reality of the financial wars that made life for so many of us extremely unsettling and worrisome. And definitely the art world was not immune to this dramatic downward spiral. Museums were forced to face the tough economic reality by paring down scheduled exhibitions, cutting back staff, and putting a freeze on new hires. Disappointing sales at art auctions and various art fairs reinforced the sense of doom and gloom on the international art scene, and a number of galleries were forced to close their doors. But, as Mark Twain once said, "The reports of my death are greatly exaggerated." I am cautiously optimistic that the same can be said about the art world, which, based on recent news here and abroad, is actually far from dead. A few weeks ago at the Christie's auction, a new record was set for the highest price ever paid for a painting by Rembrandt, a portrait of a man which sold for $33 million. At the same sale, a drawing by Raphael, a sketch for one of his frescoes at the Vatican, was sold for an astonishing price, $48 million. Yes, you heard it right, $48 million for a small but gorgeous drawing on paper. Collectors and dealers returning from Miami Basel reported better than anticipated sales there, and the good news here in Los Angeles is that local dealers are also starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. The Culver City Art District continues to expand. Blum & Poor, which put Culver City on the art map when they moved there in 2003, recently relocated just across the street to an even bigger and more dramatic space. Suzanne Wilmeter, the doyenne of the Culver City art scene, also is ready to welcome visitors into her new and much larger space, which is scheduled to open in mid-January. And Engels Gallery, which for a quarter of a century has been a major presence on Main Street in Santa Monica, is packing up and moving to, you guessed it, Culver City, and interestingly enough, into the space formerly occupied by Blum & Poor. This past year also proved to be the most painful year in the 30-year history of Los Angeles Museum of Contemporary Art, which virtually ran out of money and almost went belly up. Once again, Eli Broad came to the rescue, saving the museum from financial ruin, much as he did a decade ago with the faltering Disney Hall project. And now, only a few months later, MoCA's revamped Board of Trustees is reporting that the museum has raised more than $60 million. But what's especially heartwarming is the groundbreaking exhibition MoCA's First 30 Years, occupying both the main building on Grand Avenue and the Geffen Contemporary in Little Tokyo. For the first time here in L.A., we can see the true depth and scope of MoCA's permanent collection, which has rightfully earned the museum an international reputation. I am also glad to report on the Hammer Museum's just unveiled, much-improved presentation of its permanent collection of old master artworks assembled by Dr. Armand Hammer. In the past decade, with most of the museum's energy focused on contemporary art, this collection was shown with a slight air of indifference to less than optimum effect. Not any longer. Instead of white, the gallery walls are painted with rich, strong colors, and that, combined with new and improved lighting, makes the paintings spring to life as never before. I bet that somewhere Dr. Hammer is smiling down upon his museum. And on that happy note, let me wish you a very happy new year. It's been Edward Goldman with Art Talk on KCRW.